Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Dan Silver and Clayton Bierman of the Chelsea Fancast. And Maurizio Sarri out, Frank Lampard in. Are you dreaming?
It's a fantastic day for Chelsea.
If it happens.
When it happens.
Where, are you that confident?
I'm never confident with Chelsea. Sarri looked like he's gone. Everybody says he's gone apart from the club. Frank, don't know. I mean, I want him in, and we'll go into the reasons why. But I don't know. I think it's a huge gamble as far as the club's concerned, which I think is probably the only reason why I'm not 100% confident, because they're a bit. I don't know. It would go against everything they've done in the last 15, 20 years.
A huge sea change to actually give, you know, a manager time. But then you think, if Cech's coming back in to the board, there's a connection there.
Yep.
Lampard comes in, Jody Morris comes as number two. He understands the youth that, you know, Roman built an academy, get these players playing a year without, you know, signing players, just, you know, stay in touch. He gets a transfer window in summer, brings some players in, and then, you know, kick on. The thing is, Lampard, he'll unite the fans, because it's been a very, very toxic season. You know, certainly match-going, non-match-going fans, this whole kind of Surrey in, Surrey out stuff. So we need somebody to come in and give the love back.
Let's talk about Sarri. Do you think if he does go to Juventus, he's going back to Italy because he misses fresh pasta and the Serie A? Or actually, do you feel that he might think he's been a bit alienated?
I think he's going so he can smoke in the stadiums.
It's that straightforward.
Yeah. He might feel he's alienated, but I would ask the question as to what has he actually done to integrate himself with the club / the fans. Obviously, I you hear that the players quite liked him, but there is not one occasion that I can think of during the season where he went to the crowd or gestured to the crowd or what have you. I mean, when it all went horribly wrong in sort of January, February, you could understand him wearing a tin hat, especially when people were voicing their views about what you could do with Sarri ball. But even before that, I mean, it's unfair because he's a different personality to Conte in the way he expresses himself. I mean, Conte is what you expect a Latin Italian manager to be like. First home game, he's in the crowd, you know, last minute winner. Mm-hmm. And from that moment on, there was a love affair which didn't really end until he decided that he wanted a divorce. But there wasn't anything. I think the thing is, and Paul Hayward said today, or I read a tweet by Paul Hayward today, who I love as a journalist. I think he's really brilliant. Who was saying, is Sarri the most maligned manager? You know, I just thought
it never helped. I mean, the Sarri hate. I think when he lost the away fans, probably around December, January time, and early part of the season, we're singing his name. You know, Maurizio. You know, just replaced Conte.
You were unbeaten for 10 games.
Yeah,
or so.
We were unbeaten for 17 games,
and then we got found out a little bit. Spurs put a man on Jorginho, and that's how, well, Chelsea stopped playing, and we had a really bad defeat at Tottenham. And from that point on, it was kind of stop, start. But we're seeing his name, certainly for the early part of the season, but he didn't, you know, come acknowledge or put his hand up and, you know, wave for the crowd, which, you know, most managers do.
He never acknowledged that support.
No, never.
I wouldn't swear on a stack of Bibles that he didn't stick his hand up once when his name was sung out at Stamford Bridge, but...
But you've got issues with him, obviously, as a man and as a manager. He's clearly a slightly odd character, not an emotional person, but... If he'd been playing a style of football that you like, if the team had won the quadruple, it wouldn't actually matter, would it?
It's not so much that. I think it's what I wanted to see in our first season was, you know, signs of improvement. And there was none of that. I mean, he was forced into playing Loftus-Cheek and Adoy towards the back end of the season. Not because he wanted to, I think because he had to. There was no kind of tangible progress. You know, I think what we wanted season one was to see a bit of his style implemented. And his substitutions were pretty much like for like. In-game management was dreadful. I mean, every time I went a goal down, I thought, you know what, we're not going to get anything back from this. You know, like, for me, Man United in the Cup were 2-0 down with 10 minutes to go. he's got Giroud and Odoi on the bench. One sub left, he does fullback for fullback. And like, well, listen, it's the FA Cup, 10 minutes to go. You get one at home, you never know. And we went out with a whimper. And that's when I kind of, you know, sorry was done for me. Because I thought, just, you know, you got your philosophy, and I appreciate that. But sometimes you've got to be clever in game management. Think, you know what? Let's go for it. Let's, you know, throw the kitchen sink and see what happens. But he doesn't do that. He's just so rigid, so tactically naive almost. I think, you know, everyone says, oh, did you see Napoli last season? Yeah, but what did they win? Nothing.
I think you make a really good point. I mean, if he was obnoxious and we played the worst football in the world and we won every trophy on offer, would we, you know, would we say, well, he's all right then, isn't he? I think the thing is that Dan makes the point that when you get a new manager in, yes, things are going to change because you knew he was going to change the system, and we did change the system. And yes, we went unbeaten for 17 games. But anybody who was at any of those 17 games know that we're extremely lucky. I mean, we played Arsenal second game of the season. Yeah. We beat them 3-2. We could have been 5-2 down at half time. It was on very thin ice, that unbeaten run. I think that the point that Dan made is that we're changing it, and then you want to see something improve, and nothing improved. And you basically look out there and you see you've got two world-class players, and one of them is being played out of position.
Yeah.
And the football was awful. I don't care what anybody says, the football was awful.
Dreadful stuff. Dreadful stuff. I mean, without Eden Hazard, we would have probably been 11th or 12th. And I think Sarri echoed that Hazard was difficult to manage. I know that he didn't follow instructions. Listen, you've got a player like Hazard. You know, you build your team around him. He's a once-in-a-generation player. We've let Hazard down as a club over the last 7 years because we haven't really bought the right players to supplement his talent. And now he's gone to Real. It's a real disappointment because we used to buy these players from other clubs, and now we're giving them to Real Madrid. So there's a huge... Listen, Sarri has a lot to answer for, but then the broader picture, I believe the club are very culpable as well, not just for this season, but the previous sort of 6-7 seasons, really going back to probably winning the Champions League.
Have they gone wrong, Dan?
Okay, well, let's say, I mean, you look at you know, Mourinho comes back, wins the league.
We've only got an hour, by the way.
Yeah. Buckle up.
Yeah, okay. So Mourinho comes back, he wins the league, he wants certain players, he's given dross. Conte comes in 10th to 1st, arguably probably the greatest achievement in recent years. He wants certain players, and he's given Danny Drinkwater. No, you know, all this... You know, Danny Drinkwater. I mean, really?
enough said,
yeah. It's just that there hasn't been a real football person on the board for a long time since Emanalo went. And you need somebody at this level who understands football, says, listen, you know what? Yes, we won the league at the Canter last season, but we need to improve because second, third, fourth and fifth are going to improve. You know, look at Liverpool under Klopp. He's had time, one or two, you know, big signings, and they've got 97 points. And Klopp's the sort of manager I want at Chelsea because he's... The passion he shows, the way he's got the whole club, you know, living and breathing. He's an inspirational manager. That's what I want to see. I mean, that's the different levels right now. We've dropped from where we are now to 25 points below, the champions, which is huge, huge sea change.
Sarri, of course, not loved at Stamford Bridge, but one Italian who was more popular is Carlo Cudicini. He says it'll be sad to see Sarri go if he does head off.
It's just a pity. I think we had a very good season. Obviously finishing on a high with a trophy in Europa League. But obviously if he has decided to go, then I guess the club will have to look somewhere else.
The club are saying what to say. But, I mean, I'd like to see, you know, his opinion. You know, Carlo, he's not going to, you know, jeopardise his job by saying, you know what, he's an idiot. I'm glad he's gone.
You think that he really doesn't believe that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he may do. I mean, I don't listen for me. So I don't know. Sorry, personally, he may be a really like engaging guy away from football. I just don't know. But what we see as fans is what we see week in, week out on the pitch. His reactions to staff, his post-match interviews, and that's how we judge him. Not as his character. He may be a great guy. Maybe he was a good coach. Maybe he had the wrong players. I don't know. But I want to see just little signs of improvement. You know, a project like that. Pep's first season. You know, he did okay. Second season, brilliant. Third season, brilliant. You saw his philosophy being implemented. That wasn't happening with Sarri. Nothing was happening.
I think, ironically, one of the things about Sarri and why Sarri's style of football wasn't implemented is because Hazard wouldn't do what he was told. But Sarri didn't have the players. I think the thing is that now he's gone, we'll never know what that second season would have been like. But I think...
Are we going to have Chelsea hipsters, Clayton, in 10 years' time saying, oh, if you'd given Maurizio time, we would be dominating world football?
He's going to go to Juventus. Juventus have won the league, was it six in a row?
They've got the best team. More, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is. It's essentially like, you know, it's pretty like, you know, the Scottish Premiership is not the most competitive league. Yes, there's some good teams, but, you know, if you have a Celtic manager, you've got a really good chance to win the league. Same as, you know, Juventus. He should win the league, and that's not because, you know...
He's got Ronaldo.
He's got Ronaldo. He's got... Whoever he's got, Dybala, he's got these great players. So the fact that Simon's going to go from third place to Chelsea to, you know, win the league with Juventus is not really... There's not a balance there because he's gotten to the best team that knows how to win, has got the players, and he's probably going to, you know... implant his stuff. Oh, I don't know. I think
the other thing with Sarri is if we have got this transfer ban, none of us want him in charge of a team that needs to integrate youngsters, and that's why there's such a drive for Frank and Jody, because it's all about timing, and they would be the perfect fit. I mean, they really would, because. The only thing with Frank Lampard and Jody Morris is the attitude of the club. Because if the club say, fine, you've got a year, we know you can't buy any players, integrate some of these. No, I'm sorry. You know, you've got a crank caller.
Yeah.
You've got a crank caller. He's come in to rescue Sarri, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You shouldn't let these people, you know.
The response there for our regular listeners, our excellent producer Kieran has just written on the screen that we have a caller into the show. If you'd like to get in touch, it's 0208 7020 558. We're told that it's Chelsea Fancast's very own Jonathan Kidd. We're going to have a quick meeting in the break, decide whether he's going to be allowed on air. I think from a neutral point of view, what I've found really interesting watching the Sarri debate at Chelsea is there are so many neutrals saying, he won you the Europa League and you finished third in the league. Why are you arguing? And no Chelsea fan agrees with them. And actually, you guys know better.
I have got, two very good points. One, we had a very, very easy route towards the final. The first good team we played, Eintracht, in the semi-finals, we scraped through on penalties. The fact we came third in the league was more the fact that Tottenham, Arsenal, Manchester United... capitulated.
Imploded.
Yeah, I mean, after the Ole Gunnar bounce, United were dreadful. Spursed it up, and Arsenal were Arsenal. So it was more...
Johnny, you're 100% right, because that's the question that all neutrals ask, because there's only, four or five trophies you can win. Yet again, after having supposedly awful season, we've won one of them.
And come above Spurs, who have one of their best seasons.
And we came third in the league. Third in the league can easily be explained by everybody else imploding. Because if you have a look at our record, and the wonderful Joe Tweed, who people listen to the Fancast know, Joe's a fancaster, he's basically sent me through some statistics. And Sarri's statistics that look, on the face of it, fantastic. But that includes the Europa League.
Yeah, with very winnable games.
And the
easy
Europa
games.
League, we played the dog and duck. And, you know,
MOL Vidi.
Yeah. The Farmers second 11. We had such an easy route, and the teams you expect to beat. I mean, was it Prague in the quarterfinals? Yeah. We nearly shot ourselves in the foot of that game.
I mean, his record is slightly inflated. And I do understand, and it looks like we're just being spoilt and we're being churlish because we want somebody out who's delivered us a trophy.
But actually, you watch him week in, week out. You witness that lack of interaction with the crowd. You have to watch the football,
better. Johnny, we played a European semi-final. Okay, this one of my very best friends who sits next to me. Basically, we played Eintracht Frankfurt. First half, we played okay. Second half, we just went missing. It was 1-1. And a friend of mine went to the toilet just before it went to extra time. He never came back. He just said, I can't watch any more of this. It was turgid. It was awful.
Well, on that, we are absolutely certain.
Talking
that
of
Sarri
turgid and awful, let's talk to Jonathan.
Has to go. Coming up, Sarri's going, but is Frank necessarily the right man? Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
The Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and a quick update for you from the Women's World Cup. It is England 0, Argentina 0. That Argentine defence again proving tricky to break down. Updates for you throughout the show. But we're talking Sarri and we're talking Frank Lampard. I'm delighted to say we've got Jonathan Kidd of the Chelsea Fancast on the line. Good evening, JK. Does Sarri need to go? Does Frank need to come in?
I thought I'd ring to get some balanced opinion here rather than listening to the terrible twins just have a go.
Jonathan, you meant to have a night off. Come on, chill.
I couldn't help it. I thought with the two of you together, I thought, God, it's going to be slag off Sarri evening. It's going to be an hour of vitriol and hatred, which it is. That's what I've been listening to.
We're only 20 minutes in. Come on, give us a chance.
Non-stop. Yes, no emotion.
I've got my finger on the dump button, by the way.
He didn't acknowledge the crowd. Of course he did. I sit in front of him.
No, Jonathan, he was actually lighting up a cigarette. You're mistaken.
No, the little hand that went up, was it, when he did it? Rather embarrassing. When they're using the same Antonio chant, they're going, Maurizio, Maurizio.
Not original.
Oh, be more original, please. And his little hand comes up. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's having a go. And meanwhile, the vision of him as this fraudulent tramp is in my mind. And you, Dan, having a go at him, saying, yeah, he's appalling and dreadful and vile. And also the business about drink water that you said. The reason that they bought drink water was because Conte behaved dreadful. I don't know if you said the board are dreadful, but and they should have backed Hazard, I agree. But that whole business of buying those players was because Conte wasn't about. Conte mucked around with the whole transfer.
I understand
system,
that, but so. my argument was, I think from what my understanding was, that he asked for two or three Italian players. Arguably,
yes, he did.
Because then
he asked for the Juventus over OAP club so, back four.
Yeah, my argument was that they would have cost XYZ in money, but had those three or four players integrated in the team and kept in the Champions League for the next 3 to 4 seasons, they would have got their money back. The board are culpable as much as the managers.
But the trouble is they saw their opportunity for not having to work for the rest of their lives was there in front of them. They all thought they'd get 400,000 a week and a 3-year contract each, despite all of them being 32.
Jonathan.
And of course, Chelsea are not going to do that, are they?
Sarri need to go?
Does Sarri need to go? Well, he has gone, hasn't he? Has he gone yet? Has he been worked out?
Not officially.
Eke out another million or Higuain's contract or something. I'm excited by the prospect of Frank being there. Yeah, I think that'd be wonderful if Frank comes. But even that might not be the case. It might be Allegri. It might be one of the thousand. It might be a left field manager that we know nothing about that they've decided to bring in. Last year, we had no idea that Sarri was coming, did we?
No.
Maybe they've got someone else on the radar. I think due to the vitriol that he suffered, the poor bloke. But I actually think he would have got it right in the end. I think one of the reasons, I thought they were playing much, much better at the end of the season. I have to say, though, I agree with you actually over the Eintracht game. That was very, very poor in the second half, wasn't it? He did dig a hole for himself.
But the thing is, Jonathan, he might get it right, but if we can't buy anybody next season,
he's got
to use the same players.
Yeah,
less Hazard.
Callum.
You just know what next season would potentially be. I mean, we were saying earlier, it would be nice that if Frank was just given a year to get, learn on the job. I read that the club still, if Frank comes in, they still expect us to come fourth. Well, I think they're living cloud cuckoo land.
Is that with the transfer ban?
That's with the transfer ban.
That shows how little the board knows.
Where did you read this?
I saw it one day. It was a couple of different sources. I think if Cech comes back on board, he and Roman are good pals. I think when he left to go to Arsenal, he actually went to Roman's house and begged to be released, and Roman relented.
Beat on his door.
Yeah. So, listen, I think Frank comes in. He'll unite the fan base because it has been terribly toxic, not only match game but on social media. It's been pretty horrible season for away from the sort of stadium with Sarri in, Sarri out. And I thought the guy Simon Johnson for the Evening Standard, I think he said on a another show that it's they're Sarri fans, they're not Chelsea fans. Their whole ethos is based around Maurizio Sarri, so they'll probably, you know, move over to Juventus next season. Whereas they're the Chelsea fans, generally, I would say maybe 70-30 Sarri out. There are a few out there who you know want him to succeed, and I respect that. But just as I said earlier, that you want to see progress, you want to see little signs of Sarri, and I don't think we saw anything. I mean, we just, you know, the Eintracht game, the first big test we had, we just about got through that.
Are you making a smoothie? I mean, what on earth was that noise?
I think it's his stomach, because he's hungry.
Oh, I think we've lost JK. Right. The line has gone. Jonathan Kidd there of the Chelsea Fancast. Thank you for your time. Interesting. He's saying that Frank to come in is great news. Is he, for you, the obvious choice? He's a legend.
Yeah, because of timing. Nothing to do with legend. Nothing to do with... Well, I suppose it's partially to do with legend, because after having Sarri, you want somebody who gets the club. And we've had a succession of managers who seem to get the club. So that's why Sarri was such an exception to the rule. The transfer ban means that if we can get Jody back, Jody knows our youth players better than anybody else, and he'll know who's got the temperament to make it and who hasn't. Mm-hmm. And so your perception and your hope is that that will bring some of these players through. People that perhaps we don't even know, some of the talented guys who haven't made first team debuts. I mean, I think it's right time, right place. And I also think, I know that a lot of people are worried that the fans will turn against Lampard. Can't see it in a million years.
I think there's a real polarising opinion, because you've got the, you know, match-going Chelsea fans and Chelsea fans versus those that are more keyboard warriors. And I think generally Frank will get time, because he, you know, whatever happens at the club, if he comes 2 years, he fails, his legacy at the club is such that I don't think anyone will, you know, get on his back. You know, he went to Man City and scored against us, and he was like, you know, he still got cheered.
Oh, Frank, what's he like? Oh, Frank, scoring against us for City.
Kissing the badge, running down the pitch. Listen, we got it was Kurt Zouma coming back. Bakayoko apparently had a really good season in Milan. Marco van Hinkel, lesser known.
There's a name. Lesser spotted. Yeah.
Mishy, I'll probably get shut down on this, but I think Mishy Batshuayi is a finisher. He knows where the goal is. He can't do anything else. He's not intelligent enough to be a link man. But you put the ball in the penalty box, he knows where the goal is. Tammy's had two good loans in the Championship, 50-odd goals in 100 matches. Yes, he went to Swansea. They struggled. They changed managers. You know, these players get a chance. They get a year. Harry Kane got a chance. He got a few games in the Europa League, scored some goals, got a chance, and now he's arguably one of the best strikers in Europe. He got a chance.
I think the big thing is that there has to be a change in mindset, because if you stepped back... Now, obviously, Liverpool and Manchester City are streets ahead at the moment, and we can't go out and buy anybody, and we've lost Hazard. Tottenham might buy a few players, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening with Arsenal. Anything could potentially happen with Arsenal. Manchester United look like they're going out and buying a lot of young players, which is, you know, which I think will be good for them. And then you've got to think that Wolves,
Everton
are all going to be knocking on the door for the top four next year, top six. So I think we're in a precarious position. So if you had a transfer window, and I'm not denigrating these guys, because I think, well, perhaps I'm denigrating them, but if we had a transfer window and you brought in Batshuayi...
Penalty to England. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, penalty to England.
Yeah.
If you brought in Batshuayi, Tammy Abrahams, Kurt Zouma and Mason Mount, if that's who you went out and bought in the summer, you'd be pretty uninspired that. And I don't mean it in a... I'm not denigrating them, in the basis of going out and buying 50, 60 million pound players.
Especially on the back of selling Hazard.
Yeah.
You say that Lampard isn't coming in because he's a legend. I'm not arguing with the fact that he should come in. Mm. But if Michael Carrick had been named Derby boss this time last year and got them to be losing playoff finalists, you would not have any interest in him being Chelsea boss at all.
Well, no, because he's Michael Carrick.
But any player.
But you make a fair point. But Frank Lampard, with his club affiliation is crucial to him coming in. but also the fact that he has worked with Jody Morris now for a year in a management team, and Jody Morris is absolutely essential.
Brilliant coach.
To actually bring through these players.
Frank is also a born winner. He's a born winner. He's worked under some phenomenal coaches, you know, internationally and at the club. So let's go. England have a penalty.
Yeah, Nikita Paris, talking of born winners, she took a fantastic penalty in England's opening day 2-1 win over Scotland. She's missed.
Misha.
Oh, my fault.
Her sister Misha's gutted.
It's a fantastic save from Correa, the goalkeeper. Yeah. The follow-up missed as well.
Well, I think the was it Karen Carney who was coming in to follow up? I think that's a penalty. I think the follow-up, she's
you
been
think
fouled.
She's been clattered?
She's been absolutely clattered.
I think it was a good height for the keeper, in fairness.
You wonder whether Paris has overthought this. The penalty against Scotland, she goes top left. It's a fantastic penalty. She's taking another one in the next game. She's clearly thinking, this Argentina keeper knows I go top left. I better go bottom right. The keeper saves it. Updates for you throughout that game. Coming up, I'm not going to argue with you that Frank Lampard isn't the perfect man for the job. He clearly is. Morris is a glorious addition as well. But there are other names, and could there be other options?
This is Love Sport.
Super Frankie Lampard. I think you're agreeing that he is the perfect man for the Chelsea hot seat, but he's not the only guy being linked with the job. We're also hearing about Ralf Rangnick of RBL. He's been doing good things in the Bundesliga. What about him?
I don't know enough about him, to be totally honest. I mean, I didn't see Napoli last year, and I don't watch too much other football because Chelsea takes up so much time. Listen, whatever comes in, it's going to be a tough season for whoever's in the hot seat, whether it's going to be Rangnick or Lampard or whoever it's going to be, because no players coming in, and the pressure is huge on Chelsea. You know, the edict from above is you need to be top four, and whoever it'll be tough. But, you know, I just hope it's going to be a happier place to be than it was last season for various different reasons.
Is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at United a cautionary tale in that he came into the club as a club legend, he improved the mood, they got the bounce, and then it all seemed to come unstuck? Could the same happen to Frank?
Listen, Frank could have a dreadful, dreadful, dreadful time of it, and we could be 10th or 11th come, you know, January. But that's the chance you take. Mourinho, no one thought Mourinho would go from first to 10th, you know, 4 years ago, and it did. And Mourinho's got a phenomenal track record. You know, maybe he's got, I don't know.
I'll be the first to admit that sort of wanting Frank to come in, I feel terribly, there's a massive naivety about it. Because if you look at it from a logical point of view, you're taking, as you said, if you went to any other team in the Championship, you know, I mean, okay, Dean Smith.
Yeah, I was going to think, or the guy, Chris Wilder at Sheffield United.
Would you think, great, they're coming in? No, you wouldn't. And that's, you know, because there's no relationship with the club.
Yeah.
So I think the club has been at a crossroads for a couple of years for all the reasons that have been discussed. I do not think this is the right time to bring in somebody from a foreign league who, another AVB, for example, or another Scolari, or another Sarri.
As I call him, Pan Shop.
I would rather have, I'd rather have Javi Garcia. I'd rather have Nuno Espirito Santo.
Or the guy, the guy at Everton, I think, could, you know, with a decent squad, is not a bad manager.
I really don't. I think there's a bit of the Emperor's New Clothes about him. I really do. Everybody talks about how great he is. Well, he basically couldn't save Hull. He got booted out of Watford after he was sort of
flirting with
Everton. And I don't think Everton fans were completely sold on him this year. So
they're a very inconsistent side. Yeah. And he won't go to Chelsea anyway because apparently he refuses to move club unless he can bring Richarlison with him.
I don't want him. What about Eddie Howe? I mean, Eddie Howe's worked his socks off to, and has, you know, kept Bournemouth in the, you know, the Premier League, and he's done okay. He's a progressive coach.
He's a great manager. Patrick Christie's, who co-hosts Drive here on Love Sport Radio, has a theory about Eddie Howe, which is that he's not fashionable because he's English and he was a centre-half and he played for Bournemouth and he's called Eddie Howe. He repeatedly argues that if Eddie Howe was called Eduardo Howzini, he would be managing Real Madrid
now. He's got a point. I mean, what he's done with Bournemouth has been phenomenal, from the brink of extinction to, you know, becoming, you know, Premier League, you know, comfortably sitting in the Premier League for, what, three, four seasons? Turned us over 4-0, beat us at home 2 years running 3-0 and 3-1.
I think Eddie Howe wouldn't be given as big a chance as Frank would be given.
Because he's no connection.
Because there's no connection. But I do think, and I do actually wonder, I mean, I don't know the history around his move to Burnley and then back to Bournemouth. Because that at the time was a step up, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he got offered the opportunity and he took it and it didn't work out. I think he didn't settle particularly.
So, I mean, I'm not sort of tarring him with a brush that he's not going to work out. But I think there's some managers that are a really good fit for a really, you know, for a club. And you have to look at other top six, seven clubs who have lost managers. And so Everton would be a perfect example. Why didn't they go for Eddie Howe?
Mm. Yeah. For you, regardless of whether it's Lampard or not, in the event of a transfer ban, what are you expecting in terms of results, in terms of style of play from your manager next season?
I think we've got to, you know, I think our team's set for 4-2-3-1. We're not a 4-3-3 team. You know, Kante to go back to where he does best, playing, you know, in front of the back four, maybe a Bakayoko alongside him possibly. You know, because Bakayoko was, he had a couple of outstanding games in that first season, like Spurs at home.
You lot slated him, come on.
No.
He was hopeless.
He wasn't brilliant, but I wasn't. No. But he, Madrid away, he was absolutely brilliant. Spurs away, absolutely brilliant. He had some good games, but he was signed injured. There was a lot of talk from, you know, Blue Skrull that we shouldn't have signed him because of his, you know, his injuries. You know, he struggled. But in fairness, that whole team struggled that season under Conte. It wasn't just Bakayoko. He became the kind of the target for the Boo Boys because he did put in some woeful performances. And, when he got sent off at Watford, people were cheering. And that was just like, they just didn't do that to your own players.
That was some achievement at Watford, because that was possibly, and I've seen some awful performances, but in 30 minutes, that was possibly the worst ever performance I've ever seen.
Yeah, he was just a shocker.
And you felt for him.
He's coming back and playing in midfield.
He's coming back.
Van Hinkel.
I think we talked about this before the show, that I think that we will have, I would be surprised if we got top six.
Really? Surprised by top six?
Yes.
Who's going to oust you?
I think Arsenal and Manchester United could come above us if they do well. I mean, Manchester United look like they're sort of getting their act together in the transfer window. I mean, I don't know the whole Paul Pogba thing, but he seems to be somebody who's, if they get rid of him, I think it might work in their favour, get somebody in from Real Madrid. He seems to be destabilising things there. I don't know, just looking as an outsider. So I think Manchester United, I think Leicester under Brendan Rodgers are going to do better next season.
Yeah, I think
that Wolves will go out and buy another couple of players. And Wolves only sort of fell off from top six because they had some bizarre results.
They lost to Huddersfield twice.
Yeah, just absolutely bonkers. So I do think that we will struggle. I think that we have got the core of a decent team. Yeah. I do. But the one thing I said to Dan outside, I haven't got a problem with our defence. I think with Kurt Zouma coming back, I think with Reece James being in the mix as well, and maybe Tomori, although I think he might go out on loan again. We've got a decent defence. I think in midfield, we've got Kante back where he's supposed to play. Mason Mount. I'd be quite happy to see Jorginho stay.
We're going to have Willian. I think it's going to have a great season because he's going to play on the left where his favourite position is. I think we could see some really good output from Willian this season because he's kind of always been a little bit in Hazard's shadow. Yes, he's a good player and his final ball sometimes was in product. But put him on the left where he should be playing, I think he could have a great season.
I do think the biggest problem though is up front.
Yeah.
Mm. I really do, because I understand and I want to see Tammy Abraham's given a chance and I want to see Batshuayi given a chance. But I do think we're missing a quality forward and have been since Diego left.
Yeah. I mean,
as a final point on the managers, if I told you that you can't have Frank, that he's decided he loves Derbyshire and he's not going anywhere, seems unlikely, but still, who would you go for in his absence?
Oh, wow. We've got a break coming up, so I can think about it.
Tell you what, you can give me your answers after the break.
This is Love Sport.
the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio as England amp up the pressure on Argentina. It's a backs-to-the-wall job from the South Americans. Still 0-0. Can they hold out? Well, Dan, you've had your time. Who are you having? Who are you taking as Chelsea boss if you can't have Frank Lampard?
If we could nick Poch from Tottenham, I would absolutely love that. If we could.
We said realistic.
Okay. There's a guy in Italy called Sarri, apparently plays really good football.
Did you watch Napoli last
year? Yeah, they're fantastic. It's so difficult. I guess Ragnick has done a decent job at Leipzig. Tuchel, if he leaves, Paris Saint-Germain's got a good track record. So one of those two, perhaps. Or Larry White.
Mm-hmm. And Clayton, who would you go for?
Jose.
Oh,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Straight,
yeah.
Just no question.
Yeah. Of course.
Would he come back?
Yes.
I think he would come back. He loves London. I mean, that's basically it. But I had this conversation with my brother. It would be fascinating to see whether he could do it without the chequebook.
Yeah.
I think that would be absolutely fascinating. And funnily enough, I don't think a lot of our fan base would want him back. The way he sort of appeared, and I'm allegedly, to manufacture his exit the last time, because I think he wanted to be Man United manager. The way he that whole season was just, you know, from the row with the physio onwards, and people that were on the pre-season tour just said he was a very unhappy guy from day one.
I read a book, a Spanish journalist, I can't remember his first name, something Torres. He wrote a book about Madrid's Real Madrid.
One that they said that he cried when he found out the Man United job had gone.
Yeah, basically it was his last season in Madrid, and apparently he was very close at that time to going to Manchester United. And then I think Bobby Charlton kind of put the kibosh on it and said he's too much toxicity to bring to the club. He kind of is going to ruin the Manchester United name. And he had a full-blown hissy fit.
Really?
Yeah. About it all. And the book, Guillermo Torres, I think his name was. He wrote a book about, you know, Jose's year in Madrid.
Well, it would be quite something if he came back for a third spell. Of course, that could only happen if Sarri leaves the club, as it's looking that he will. And another man who has gone is Eden Hazard, a Chelsea legend. How are you going to look back on him?
We're just blessed that we got to see him play. I mean, I was kind of like, oh, he's gone. And then I turned onto the TV and saw him getting presented to Real Madrid. And I was like, oh, God, that really
terrible
hurts
tie,
now.
By the way.
Yeah.
Weird little silver tie. What are you doing, Aiden?
Yeah, come on, you got style. I think he was absolutely brilliant player. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I love watching him. Probably one of the best players I've seen put on a blue shirt in my entire time.
Where does he rank?
Top five, easily. Easily. I mean, I think Lampard, Terry, Drogba, Hazard, Dixon, that kind of level. I mean, he got you off your seat. Some of the goals he scored were brilliant. I mean, he won games by himself. He carried us this season. I mean, we have massively let him down. You know, time and time again, he was everyone after when he was signed him at 21. Everyone knew it was after him. We got him. He gave us 7 years. We should have built a team around him. He should have been our number 10 until like Messi's been for Barcelona. You know, phenomenal talent. I mean, some of the goals he scored, the one against Arsenal when he put Coquelin on his backside and
destroyed Koscielny as well.
Yeah, the goal at West Ham this season.
The goal at Anfield.
Yeah.
This season.
He's got some worldies.
I agree with Dan that yes, we should have done more and surrounded him with better quality players, but I still think he would have gone. I mean, I honestly believe that he wanted to go there and he looked very happy yesterday. And I don't think it matters what we would have done. I think eventually he would have gone.
Do you think if Zidane hadn't gone back to Real Madrid, he would have gone?
Not sure, because somebody I heard who is a very well-respected journalist, when they actually talked about Jose possibly going back to Real Madrid and somebody saying, oh, he'd want to go back there, I understand that he basically, he hasn't got a problem with Jose and wants to actually work with him again.
Yeah. I mean, he's a once-in-a-lifetime player, Hazard. Mm. I mean, just the skills. And also, I think he's just such a nice person. I mean, all the kind of journalists who've interviewed him and spoke about him said he's just such a nice person. He's always got time for everybody. I remember when he scored his first hat-trick, he was interviewed by, I think, Match of the Day. So he didn't get out for drinks. No, I'm home to my family. He's a real family man. I think with Hazard, my one criticism is he probably hasn't got enough desire to really put himself up to the next level of world-class players like the Messis. He's not narcissistic enough, I don't think.
Well, this is an interesting question because he's never had, in terms of goal scoring, a really extraordinary Messi-Ronaldo-style season. He's an extraordinary player who now has an extraordinary opportunity, not just to go to Real Madrid, but to be their main man, the star Galactico. How's he going to cope with being in direct competition with, for my money, the finest footballer of all time?
He's fine. He's held on in the Premier League for 7 years. I think he'll cope.
Messi.
Yeah, but Messi's, you know, you can level that anybody below Messi's levels, you know.
Can he keep up with Messi?
No, not in terms of pure goals, no.
I think that there's two things that are going to happen in Spain. One is going to get more protection from referees because there you just have to fall over and you get a free kick. And he's going to play... There's so many more games in Spain that aren't competitions. Yeah, whereas in every game in the Premier League, you know, there are no walkovers.
So you could see him scoring four against Eibar.
Yeah, I mean, you could see him scoring 30, 40 goals. You could.
Well, look at Ronaldo. Was he getting 50 goals a season, wasn't he?
You know, well, Messi is.
But Ronaldo
well.
Was getting 40 goals a season in England.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's his desire, his hunger. Hazard doesn't quite have that in his character. I think he's too nice to be absolutely at the top level of football.
Well, maybe Zidane will put that into him.
I don't know, but he's 27. You would have thought by this stage in his career he would have had that desire. He's very happy playing football. That's what he wants. He loves playing football. It's almost like, you know...
He loves playing football apart from when he's a false number nine.
Yeah, exactly.
And he puts the full teapot on.
Yeah, a kid in the park. I think he just loves playing football. I don't think he's particularly bothered about, you know... He always maintains he doesn't really care about individual honours. It's all about the team game. And he always comes across just a very nice individual.
He's a great player. He's going to be massively missed. I mean, he really is. And I think not only... by the fans, but I think by his teammates as well.
Mm. Yeah, because I think he was very, very popular member of the team.
Well, coming up, let's have a chat about some of his very finest moments in a blue shirt.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Dan Silver and Clayton Bierman of the Chelsea Fancast. We're waving goodbye to Eden Hazard. For you, Clayton, what was his finest moment in a Chelsea shirt? So many.
Yeah. Well, it is. I can't pinpoint... I mean, it's interesting that I think the second half of the Europa League final, he just basically knew he was going, wanted to step it up.
Yeah.
Went to a different level and delivered the trophy.
Yeah, I mean, he was outstanding.
I mean, I'm not saying that's my favourite moment. I mean, being in the ground when he scored the goal against Arsenal was just extraordinary because it was one of those things that you saw, but you couldn't actually believe what you'd just seen. The goal he scored against West Ham at home again this season was just... amazing.
I mean, for me, actually, now the goal he scored against Tottenham to make it 2-2, it gave Leicester the league. Just the importance of that and the noise inside the stadium. What had been, again, a really disappointing season with Jose. The 1-2 at Costa, the little curl
Wasn't
into the corner.
The first time he bothered that season as well, effectively.
Yeah, then he scored a world against Liverpool the following week.
I mean, just going off piste, I actually wrote a book about that particular season.
What was the book called?
It was called Palpable Discord, which is still available on Amazon, but I'm not advertising. And my absolute emotion after coming out of the ground that day was anger because we'd had the most appalling season. And for 45 minutes, because we didn't turn up in the first half of that game,
Spurs,
we were awful.
All over us.
Spurs, yeah, go on.
Well, you two are both being very affectionate about Eden Hazard. We've got Daniel on the line. He's called into the show. Good evening, Daniel. I gather you're not impressed with the Hazard love-in.
It's not that I'm not impressed, boss, firstly. Good evening, all.
Hi, Daniel.
No, it's the whole love-in for it all. I mean, we can look back at him affectionately, but, I mean, I watched it all yesterday, you know, rolling out from Madrid, and the whole... How's the best way to put it? Oh, I've always wanted to be here, the badge kiss, the la-la-la. It almost sunk him down a little in the estimation for me.
That's what he, I mean, Joe Cole, when he was signing for Liverpool, was told to say Liverpool the best team in the world. You know, they paid 140 million. If he's got to kiss a badge, whether he means it or not, he's done it for marketing, he's done it for Madrid. I think Chelsea will always be a huge part of his life. So, you know, the fact he's done that doesn't bother me. If he kisses a badge, if he scores against Chelsea, yeah, they're going to be annoyed. But the fact he did that in front of 50,000, you know, Madrid people, I just think it's summing in nothing. I wouldn't really, you know, for me, it's not going to make a huge difference to his legacy at Chelsea.
I understand what you're saying, Daniel, but I mean, that is all choreographed. He's told exactly what to do.
Oh, yeah.
In the press conference, the little clips I saw, he actually mentioned us, and I haven't got a problem with it. I actually do think he's very happy to be there. I mean, the whole badge-kissing thing was just
stage managed. He's always said he wants to play for Madrid. He's come out, he said, I'll always give 100% to Chelsea. Madrid is my dream. Zidane is my dream. So it's not like it's come out of left field. He's always intimated the last couple of years that's what he would like to do. And you know, good luck to him. I think you know, there's very little of Hazard's career you could really think, you know what, now he's let us down. He's done this, he's done that. He's generally been a phenomenal player and a great ambassador for the club.
What's your favourite Hazard moment, Daniel?
It's got to be solo goal at Arsenal in 2017.
Yeah, awesome that was, wasn't it? It's brilliant.
Daniel, I mean, I don't want to put a knock on him whatsoever. It was a little bit trite, shall I say. I mean, because ultimately I still think there were other elements if we were a bit more proactive in the rest of the year and gone up and said, well, you know, when Zidane was out of a job, instead of said, well, why don't we get him to come manage us? Yeah. And, you know, thankfully, you know, the fag-eating tramp is long gone.
Yeah. I mean, we were saying,
and, you know,
we were saying earlier that,
and you know, we the, can
the club,
move on.
You know, the club have let Hazard down over the years with the, you know, the club let Hazard down with the, you know, the transfer policy of the last few years. We should have built a team around him. Then maybe we've had more of a chance for him to stay. But as Clayton said too earlier, I think there was always a chance that, you know, if Madrid did come up, and it's always been his dream to play for Madrid, I think we might have lost him irrespective of who was in the team.
Well, I would have found it hard to believe to see him go in there to, let's say, play for Jose if they'd have hired him instead of Zidane. Mm.
Thanks, Daniel.
But
thanks for your call, Daniel. Lovely to speak to you. Get in touch again. That number is 0208 7020 558, of course. Yeah, I mean, he's going to kiss the badge. And actually, even if he does kiss the badge, even if that is his dream, why does it matter?
It doesn't. You can't take away from what he's done for us. And he kissed our badge. And he was great. He was great servant for 7 years. I watched it yesterday and I just thought, I felt jealous for Real Madrid because I know what a great player that they are getting. But I did actually, there's 50,000 of them. They've just spent 140 million on Hazard, 50 million on Jokic, Jovic. Mendy, I don't know how much Mendy was.
40 odd, I think.
Not the massive.
And basically they're chanting, we want Mbappe. Oh.
We want Mbappe to be
That's what they were chanting. Yesterday.
Well, I'd like Mbappe.
We would all like Mbappe. But I mean,
the white flags coming out when he has a bad game, you know, they're going to be boo, boo.
Could somebody tell me where this all fits in with financial fair play?
Well, because Madrid sold a studio flat to the government for 500 million. Mm. Allegedly.
Well, there are also, for these turbo super clubs, of which only really Real, Barca and United fit in terms of their commercial side, they make so much. The amount of money that Real Madrid generate is extraordinary, and because FFP is all relative to that, they probably get a little bit more leeway. But I agree, they can't surely now shell out 200 mil on Mbappe.
Well, they won't, but they're talking about them buying Pogba, who will cost them 150.
Yeah.
Would you have Pogba at Chelsea?
Well, that's one of the players Mourinho wanted.
I think there's a fantastic player in there. I really do.
There's no doubt about that. But there's also quite a difficult bloke.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know what he wants. I think that's the bottom line. I don't know what he wants. Who makes him tick? I mean, who was the manager? Was it? It was Allegri when he was playing at Juve.
Yeah. He's never quite, you know, being the Juventus player that he was when he's been at United. I think, you know, Mourinho bought him. He's had some good games, but he hasn't.
Okay, so Pogba or Bakayoko.
Oh, Pogba, all day, every day. I mean, but, you know, Bakayoko's still an unknown quantity for us. Whereas Pogba, Pogba's a great, great, great player. Maybe, you know, his heart's in Juventus.
Yeah, quite possibly. He can't go back there. Find a new club, Paul. Get a hobby. we've been talking a bit about unknown qualities tonight. We've been focusing on Frank Lampard. It's looking like he will be Chelsea boss. Gents, are you excited?
Yes, I can't wait. My weekends are really lonely without Chelsea.
Weekends only without Frank Lampard, I thought you were going to say for a moment.
That as well, you know. So, yeah.
I am excited. The guy's a winner. He's fiercely intelligent. And I just think he'll succeed wherever he is at whatever he does.
Yeah, he's one of those kind of... He's life's winner.
He's one of life's winners. Well, join us next week here on the Chelsea Fan Show, where possibly we'll have a new manager to tell you about.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.